Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of i5 for the iPhone is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio, plus more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code i5.10. Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Lane, and welcome to the newest episode of i5 for the iPhone. I actually have my new iPhone here. Finally, it came over the weekend, and I haven't finished updating it yet, so I've got my trusty 4S as a backup. This is the show for us, of course, the iPhone fans, the people who probably have more than one iPhone at the ready. Every week, we cover five topics, from the must-have apps to the news you need to know, and boy, is this a beauty. But enough about me. Let's start the show. Number one, the whole Apple ditches Google Maps in favor of its own Maps app war rages on. Apple had to apologize. It's gotten ugly. Last week, we talked about, though, how Apple Maps, at least as it stands now, is indeed an inferior product. But one company certainly is happy about all of this. Have you ever heard of an app called Embark? If you actually use Maps for transit, the answer is likely yes. If not, here's why Embark has been downloaded over 100,000 times since iOS 6 went live on September 19th. So Apple Maps doesn't have transit information built in. Instead, when you ask for directions, Maps will prompt you to open a transit app already on your system that's compatible with iOS 6. Now, if you don't have anything on your system yet, you'll get a list of transit apps from the App Store that you might like to download. Guess what was number one on my list? Embark. It's actually a series of apps that are split up not just by city, but by type of transit. So in the Bay Area, for example, I can download the BART Schedule Embark app, as well as the Caltrain Schedule Embark app. No app for Muni yet. Maybe they're still trying to figure out how to build an app around transit that doesn't actually work. But I digress. Embark is in 12 cities so far. It's got a ways to grow, but the team says that they're working hard on expansion. So back to Maps. I've looked up something, I want transit information, and I choose Embark already on my system from my list. iOS 6 is smart enough to port that information over to the app when it launches, and then I'm on my way. Not a huge inconvenience for me, quite frankly, just an extra step, but what a boon for Embark. The company says 70% of new users are coming over from the Apple Maps Transit tab just doing this, and their monthly planned trips has increased from 2 million in January to twice that, and all because Apple and Google hate each other. Congratulations, Embark. Aren't Map Wars wonderful? Number two, when Apple rolled out its official podcast app this summer, the reviews were dismal. People hated it. It was very buggy, and it angered all of you. Since then, Apple has fixed a lot of the bugs, added a lot of stability. Things were looking up until iOS 6. Of almost 2,000 reviews in the App Store, podcast app averages 1.5 stars. That's bad. Allow me to read a sample review. Why did you guys fix something that had been already functional and viable? What part of the brain do you have to lack in order to make this a logical app of the century? Please, this app does not even deserve constructive criticism. Please die off and bury yourself along with a creator. Intense. But okay, so people are mad. Why are they so mad, though? Well, pre-iOS 6, Podcast was an app that you could download but wasn't mandatory. So if you knew about it, great. If you didn't, didn't matter. Now, if you've installed iOS 6, your podcasts and your music apps are suddenly two different things. They're separated. And so is everything that you stream or subscribe to. If you didn't already have a bunch of podcast playlists already set up, this might not be a big deal to you, but to those of you who have rage in your hearts, here's a hack sent into my other iOS show iPad today that shows how to add podcasts back into your music apps on both iPads and iPhones.
Donald here from Otaku No Podcast with a duh tip. Did you know that you can bring back podcast functionality into the iPod app? Here's how. First thing you want to do is turn off podcast syncing if you've got it turned on. Okay, that's fine. And sync your iPad. Now, on the iPad, you want to kill both the music app and the podcast app. You do that in the usual way, double-click the home button, and press and hold on their icons in the taskbar, and tap the close button. Now you want to uninstall the podcast app. To do that, you know, just press and hold. Tap the uninstall button. And yes, this is fine. Deleting the data, that's fine. That's fine. Don't panic. Finally, go back to your iTunes and turn podcast syncing back on. And sync your iPad again. Finally, back on your iPad, open up the music app and check the More tab down here. And look, podcasts have returned. This might take one or two tries to get it to stick. So if it doesn't work for you at first, try repeating the steps again.
Thanks, Donald. Good tip. Before we move on, does anyone else find that iCloud syncing between devices just doesn't work? Doesn't for me. I have podcasts on my iPad that aren't showing up on my iPhone, even though they're using the same iCloud account. What's up with that? I pay an annual fee for iCloud storage. It should work, Apple. That's just bad customer experience. Number three, speaking of iCloud, anybody who uses iCloud gets 5 free gigabytes of backup storage in Apple's iCloud. Unless you're a former Mobile Me customer who got rolled over to a free iCloud account with 25 gigabytes of storage. Is that you? I was one of those people. Maybe you were too. Well, you may recall that Apple warned those 25 gigabytes were going to be free forever. And as of September 30th, they aren't. All free accounts have now reverted back to just 5 gigabytes. So if you're a former MobileMe customer and you're suddenly having backup issues, this might be why. Here's how to find out. In your settings, you tap on iCloud. You scroll to the bottom and you tap storage and backup. Here's where you see your total storage allotted and how much is still available. For more detail, tap manage storage and you get a list of all your devices that are being backed up. If you see a device you don't need to back up anymore, like an old iPhone, you could remove it and free up some storage that way. Scroll down a little more to find out which apps are using up the most iCloud storage on your iPhone. If you see an app being backed up that you don't really need to use, you just turn it off. Just make sure that when you open that app on another iDevice, you aren't annoyed that your information no longer syncs. If you need more gigabytes than you have in iCloud, or maybe even less than what you're paying for, tap on Change Storage Plan and either upgrade or downgrade to another plan that's better for you. By the way, at first I thought that Apple hadn't warned me about the downgrade at all, but that's just because I don't check my me.com email account very often. Sure enough, the reminder emails were all going there. Another tiny little glitch that some of you might have noticed is that iCloud says that you have free 25 gigabytes until the year 2050. That is indeed a glitch. Don't expect that to last until 2050. Probably won't be there in another week. This episode of i5 for the iPhone is brought to you by the new Squarespace.com. With Squarespace 6, it's faster and easier than ever to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. The new Squarespace gives you and your website users the best mobile experience with new templates with mobile-ready responsive designs, which means your site restructures to look great on any smartphone, tablet, computer. Images too. It has beautiful templates, 100% drag and drop functionality for all customization tools. The new Squarespace gives you better social media integration too. Automatically import, sync, and publish to and from social media with just a few clicks, dynamically refreshing your site content and raising awareness in your social circles. Example, you can pull photos from Instagram into your site, sync pages and galleries to Facebook, auto-publish new blog entries on Twitter, social media buttons connect with all the services you love, Foursquare, Dropbox, LinkedIn, Pinterest, the list goes on. The new Squarespace integrates all your website needs, domains, design, development, hosting, and customer support. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. Don't need a credit card, just try it out and start building your site. If you decide to purchase a plan, use the offer code i510 and get 10% off your first purchase on new Squarespace accounts. That's monthly and annual plans. Don't forget about free domain registration with annual plan subscriptions. That's squarespace.com, and that offer code again is i510. Number four. Hold on a second. I just need to check into the Twit Brick House so everybody knows where I am. Okay, good. Does that sound familiar? Do you know what I just did there? If you're a Foursquare user, I bet you know exactly what I just did, because Foursquare, of course, is the mobile service that invented the idea of checking into restaurants and venues and events and sharing your whereabouts with your friends. I have been a very faithful Foursquare user for years, not only to share what I'm up to with my friends, but also as a kind of a breadcrumb trail for myself. So if I go to a cafe, I know I've been there before, but it's been a long time. When I check in, Foursquare reminds me when I was there last. I kind of like that. But it really is more than just check-ins. In fact, with the latest update, Foursquare is more of a discovery tool than ever. So you click the Explore tab within the app, and you get a map view of the friends that are nearby you and where they are. Plus top picks Foursquare chooses for you based on how many of your friends have been to that particular place, places you've been in the past but not recently that you might like to be reminded about, places nearby you've never been to, places you might have added to your to-do list, other general popular places. You get the idea. If you do a search, you can filter by category or just type something like burritos or spicy if you're in the mood for something specific but don't have a venue in mind. Best of all, Foursquare now integrates with OpenTable. I love that. So if you find a place that requires reservations, you can book one right from within Foursquare. The restaurant has to already have a partnership with OpenTable, so this isn't going to be a feature on every single venue, but a lot of them do. I think in combination with another app like Yelp, Foursquare is a great little tool to have in your pocket when you're traveling or you're just looking to branch out. Better yet, it's free. And finally, number five, because, hey, we're sort of on a maps kick here at i5 this week. How about a map-based game that requires you to physically travel the world? I'm talking about a real app called Fog of World that's extremely daunting, but is also kind of a fun challenge. So you start off with a foggy map of the world. The object is to lift the fog on as much of the world as possible by recording wherever you go using your iPhone's built-in GPS. You can be recording at any time, even with the app running in the background, but this is also a battery drain. So Fog of World tries to minimize this by only reporting locations every 40 to 50 meters when you're on the go, and then lifting the fog between that and the previously reported location. What Fog of World can also do, and what the app maker Olic suggests for best results, is to use a separate GPS device and import your activity through a GPX file that stands for GPS Exchange Format. Fog of World can import these files through iTunes or Dropbox. Not only will this help save your battery life, but it can get around the problem of having to turn off GPS on your iPhone when you're flying in an airplane, for example, or somewhere without an internet connection. If this seems like way too much trouble, it might be. This is definitely not for everybody. But Fog of World is a game. It's a serious game. You connect with other players through Game Center. You collect trophies. You advance levels. Whole thing is kind of intense. It's also $5, so choose wisely. But maybe you travel a lot. Maybe you want to play along. Maybe you've got a GPS device that you're dying to use for something like this. Maybe you know somebody who does. Why not give Fog of World to them as a gift through the App Store? That's easy, too. And that's all, folks, at least for this episode of i5 for the iPhone. For links to everything we talk about, to subscribe to the show, which is totally free, or to catch up on episodes 1 through 9, just visit us at twit.tv/i5. You can email us at i5@twit.tv, leave us a voicemail at 614 on i5, or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll see you next week.